All right, ready for the word this afternoon? Are you ready for the word this afternoon? Raise one hand, let's say it together. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, with faith on our hearts and joy on our minds, we receive revelation of your word in accuracy and simplicity. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we are edified together with the body of Christ. Amen. Genesis 1:26. Now we have been looking at, don't go to Matthew, right? Leave Matthew alone for now. Last week, in the first and second services, we continued on our teaching building blocks for healthy and effective relationships. And we said that God is a relational being. He wants you to have healthy relationships. And I've said this as well, that your relationship with God is viewed from your relationship with men. Right? When they asked Jesus that question in Matthew 22, verse 36, that Pharisee came to him, that lawyer, or doctor of the law, a lawgiver, whatever. And then he came and he said, Master, what is that great commandment of the law? Referring to the Old Testament. What is the great commandment? Jesus answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your strength, heart and mind. Now, Mark gave us something else that he said before that. Mark 12:31. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 6:4. Now, as they were about to say, okay, that's the great commandment of the law. Because every Jew knows that that is like the summary of the gospel in the Old Testament. They say, don't go out yet. He said, there's a second one. He said, the second is like the first one. In other words, before you start saying, I've got this, I love the Lord. I love you, Lord. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two, not one. Upon these two hangs the law and the prophets. So the scriptures is not just about your relationship with God. Are you still there? Your relationship with people. Upon these two. So the Christian life is on two paradigms. You and the Lord, and then you and others. Alright? It said, on these two hangs the law and the prophets. On these two. On your relationship with the Lord and with others. So your Christian life cannot be healthy when your relationship with others is unhealthy. Hallelujah. Your prayer life is meant to be very effective in how you lead your life. You can't be full of prayer. There was a brother like that. He was fasting. So as he was fasting, somebody annoyed him. Then he, in anger, he said, if I was not fasting. And he went like this, boah! He learned it. The table split into two, boah! The pastor said, keep fasting, please. If you are fasting, and you are this angry, when you are not fasting, you become so good like I or Shumole. So that guy is supposed to be like who? A demon or something. You know, there was one time that guy, somebody was praying for me. He said, Shogo, if you get well, Shogo will not use your blood to have his bath. And I started laughing. He said, it's a serious prayer. He's someone from my family. So I said, but you know I'm a pastor. He said, I know. That's why I'm praying that prayer for you. So yes, upon these two hangs the law and the prophets, which means you need to see that your relationship with the Lord ought to reflect on your relationship with others. And one of the reasons why sometimes the church in Nigeria is castigated, and sometimes, many times, unfair, unjustly. Someone say the churches have taken over the warehouses. They are not allowing people to build industries. I don't understand that argument. It's one of the most foolish things I've heard. What happened? The churches seized the funds for industries? The warehouses were already empty. That's the point. Now, but sometimes the church gets some flax, and I gotta take from that. I have to take from that. And I'm equally responsible because I'm a pastor. Sometimes you look at the society, and you see the number of churches that we have, and it's the will of God, yeah, to have churches in every street, every place. God wants to be, he wants a gathering unto his son's name everywhere. But then you begin to look at the atmosphere of those places. And you cannot relate the number of the services we have with our culture and conduct outside. A man by the name of John Wesley, he went to a place in old England. And he went there and he did one-on-one personal evangelism over 100 years ago. So, 100 years after, someone visited the town. And then they said they couldn't buy liquor, that's beer, alcohol. They said, why didn't they say alcohol? They said, a man by the name of John Wesley came here 100 years ago. And since then, the Christian faith has been very strong here. I believe that ought to be the culture of the church. If we're in a place and we're much, we shouldn't have corruption this much. We shouldn't have so many things that are vices. You find Christians with Christian bosses. They'll write on it like that. So and so international community. And they'll see the traffic light and pass in the church bus. And they'll pass. You see a church car on one way. We are able to go up and take the country. One way. And you say, no, that's, if you take one way, you don't love the people. Because you're going to be a danger to others coming by the way. So you have to reflect on what we do. Don't let them know on your campus, at your workplace, you're a Christian because you speak in tongues. Satan is confused. That sister, leave her out, that brother, But in your culture and conduct, they can't separate you from those who are not saved. There's something wrong there. Because he says that the second is like the first one. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. We are above this world. Say, I'm above this world. Say like you mean, I'm above this world. So the kind of things that you do have to reflect the kind of light that you have. Genesis 1:26. So I take responsibility too, because as a pastor, we ought to have an effect. I've said it before. And where I have to speak in public fora, where I am speaking not as a pastor, but because they know I'm a pastor, I tell them oftentimes that you don't hold the government responsible for the morality of society. It's totally irresponsible to think that way. It's the institutions that are given to form the moral fiber of society. The church, the family. Now, of course, if I say this in non-church settings, I will say the mosques. I say that because I hold positions that are not spiritual. Okay? So I get to say this. So I tell them that, what kind of things do you preach? Does the believer know that his conduct matters? Or he just is saved to go to heaven. He doesn't care about everybody. He just has the blood of Jesus and that's all. No, you need to see that what we do, he says, the second is like the first one. Which means it matters. That's why Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him sin for us who knew no sin. So he had no experience of sin. Nobody could lay any charge against him successfully. 4 Peter 2:21 says they didn't find a guile in his mouth. There was no revenge in his attitude. Pilate and Herod said they saw nothing wrong in what he was doing. Which shows you that what we do matters. Who's following what I'm saying this afternoon? It matters a lot. That is why the life of Jesus is not just for salvation, it's also for example. It's an example. How we conduct ourselves. So our relationships, they matter a lot. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Are you in church? Talk to me, church. Are you in church? All right. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And we said, the word image there, selem in the Greek, in the Hebrew, sorry, T-S-E-L-E-M, means representative capacity. So you have a purpose in your life, and that purpose is to be, to act as God's image. Iselem. Then it's 27, it says, God created man in his own image. Repetition. In the image of God created him. That emphasis shows you it's our purpose. Our purpose is to act in God's image and likeness. Then replenish the earth, multiply, have dominion. So in the first and second services today, we began to look at relationships. We said that sin was first manifested in relationships. Let's first of all ignore Adam and Eve because they are important too. Husband and wife, relationship. We found sin in a relationship. Genesis 4, Abel and Cain in a relationship. So sin is found in relationship. Genesis 6, verse 1 to 4, in relationships. Genesis 6, 6 and 7 gives you the idea of Genesis 6, 1 to 4. In relationships. So, the manifestation of sin was found in relationship. We said, and we began to look at the details of that, that Cain was to be his brother's keeper. His brother's keeper. Then he asked, am I my brother's keeper? That's what he said. And we saw that something fundamental, and I don't want to go through all this again, but I believe the teaching is going to be out again tomorrow, so you can lay your hands on it. And I said to them in the first service, the first thing God noticed, or he said about Cain, was that his countenance fell. Watch your mood. Watch your reactions. The man rightly said, is that 95% of actions in this life are reactions. How you react to your country. How you react to situations. Watch your mood. And so we saw in the earlier services that there was something consistent in Genesis. Someone was chosen over the other person. Cain over Abel. Isaac over Ishmael. Jacob over Esau. Joseph over his brothers. And that the reason why God will choose someone is not because the person is unique or special. It's just because God wants to use a person for a special reason. And that reason includes you. So, but if you don't know the purpose of such things, you envy someone you should receive from. While Abel was God's servant and prophet and shepherd and priest, Genesis 4, we've done that study over and over again. His office had to do with ministering to his brother Cain. But Cain got into strife, should we say anger, should we say envy and bitterness, with someone he ought to receive as a minister to him. And that can happen a lot. God will bring people into your life who ought to be a blessing for you. And because for them to be a blessing to you, which means he's going to give them things that you will need in your life, but you are not going to have. Now, if you are not smart, you will get into strife. You begin to feel uncomfortable. And we saw that. The countenance. So I said earlier, watch your countenance. Watch your mood. It is wrong for a Christian to be moody. I've told you. Now, once in a while, like Jesse DuPantis will say, we all get into fits of carnality. Once in a while, you can find me also. Sometimes I have a mood. I have a mood. I'm looking at you like this. We all do that work. But you know, that can happen. And when it happens, I'm sure people will say, Pastor, is there any problem? Why would they ask any problem? Because they know I don't do that often. Now, there's some believers that when they start smiling, they say, is there any problem? Because you know, this is out of character. That's wrong. You go moody. No way. He said, watch your countenance. The countenance fell. Because his brother was chosen. Something he didn't like is happening. He didn't stop there. And God warned him. He said, sin is at your door. He went ahead, talked with his brother and killed him. And I told you the significance of that story is that, listen well, all the apostles referred to it. All the apostles referred to it. When you love your brother, they start with Cain. All the apostles referred to it. Jesus referred to it in John 8:44, where he said, you are of your father the devil. He says, you are going to carry out his lust. He was referring to, he said, he was a murderer from Genesis. That's Genesis 4. In Matthew 23:33, he says, you brood of vipers, you children of the devil. And the first child of the devil in the Bible was Cain. So, hatred, envy, malice is a product, is a seed of the serpent. Matthew 23:33. Say, so you are a part of the devil. He said that to them. In John, 1 John 3. He said, we are not of the wicked one. We are of God. Why? 1 John 3:14. He says, we know that we are passed from death to life, so that we love the brethren. He that hates his brother, he says, the love of God is not in him. And he's referring to Cain and Abel. So observe how you feel when someone has something you like, or someone is someone you want to be like and you may never be. Then you begin to get uncomfortable. And particularly in this instance, are relationships that are given to you of God. You must treasure them, guard them with all your heart. Now, I told them this in the first service, second service. I said, three things that you must never forget in your life. You can never have all your desires met in this life. Know that one. You can never have all your desires met in this life. And I said, number two, you are never going to have perfect people. Now, you can have perfect situations, but you will never have perfect people. Never. And one of the reasons is that you are just like everybody. You will never have perfect people in your life. You will never have a perfect husband, perfect wife, perfect pastor, perfect flock, perfect everything. You can only have a perfect savior. When you realize that, it helps the way you relate. So you give room. Now, I'm not saying that you should allow people to roughshod you and then misbehave. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But give room. Alright? Give room for people to be Christians, to be human beings. So learn to have a heart of forgiveness ahead of time. The third I said, alright, get ready for people to step on your toes. So I ask you to buy shoes that are strong enough. Your pastor is going to step on your toes. Those that God will send to you will step on your toes. Yes. Imagine Anna. She's praying in 1 Samuel. She's praying from the whole of her heart, believing God for a child. Then the pastor came around, the priest. And he says, let me see how I say it in Yoruba, I say it in English. Odutiyo? Odutiyo, Abi? You are drunk, right? You are drunk again. Don't ever come to a service drunk in your life! You know? She will have just gone, how is this a man of, he doesn't even understand the spirit. She didn't say that. She just said, your handmaid is not, your servant is not drunk. I'm only pouring out my petitions to the Lord. And how did God answer her? God answered her, listen carefully now, through the man who was not perfect. That's not the end. How did Samuel get raised up, become God's prophet and priest in the house of the same person? Imagine if she just got upset and she walked away and went on her Instagram. Brethren, see something. And they call themselves men of God. There will be no Samuel. Right? No. Because Samuel heard the voice of God through the voice of Eli. See, that's how relationships work. They work. So you must be sensitive. Imagine John 4. Some of them are even a test. John 4. Jesus told that woman, go and call your husband. She got said, okay, I'll go. And say, and then she gets to her house. I met a fake prophet today. What happened? He said, I should go and call my husband. You know, Sabi, you after 5. She said, I don't have husband. She didn't say, you are a liar. I don't have husband. You know, there are two different things. Fake prophet. She didn't say that. I don't have husband. You are rightly said so. So watch how you get in those conversations. Right? So, getting back to what I was saying. Wear big shoes. Your spouse, your children, your siblings, your friends in ministry, your friends at work, born again, all of that. They will step on your toes. Buy very big shoes so that you won't feel it. And if you feel it, just massage that area and move on. Is that clear? Alright. So we looked at different relationships in scripture. And we said that relationships are always going through tests. 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 God-given relationships and all of that. Alright. So, let's go to 1 Samuel 18. And I can't go through all we said in the first half, but let's see very critical thing. Who is a friend? So we said, a friend is someone that you love. So you don't love a friend first. You make someone you love your friend. Alright? 1 Samuel 18. And we saw two men, because we have read some different instances earlier on, 1 Samuel 18. Now we saw two kinds of love. Before you go to 1 Samuel 18, look at 1 Samuel 16. Verse 21. David came to Saul and stood before him, and Saul loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul loved him, Saul the king. He loved him, he became his armor bearer. Okay? Now Saul did not love him sincerely. So you can have, because the same word used here, love him, is the Hebrew word for friend. He became his friend, associate, the word aheb, A-H-E-B, which in the Hebrew is also used for God and Abraham. Put your hands in them, show you something. Second Chronicles, chapter 20, and verse 7. God carries out his will in the earth through partnerships, associations, and friendship. Second Chronicles 20 and 7. And thou art our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham. Second Chronicles 20 verse 7. Your friend. Abraham, your friend. Friend there means somebody that you love. It also means someone you are acquainted with. It also means someone that you are partnering with. Isaiah 41 and 8. But thou Israel art my servant, Jacob whom have I chosen, the seed of Abraham, Isaiah 41 verse 8, seed of Abraham, it says, my friend. James 2:23 also calls Abraham God's friend. My friend. So a friend is someone, a Hebrew in the Hebrew, used 207 times, someone that you show love to. Now, what it means is someone you esteem, right? So let's see 1 Samuel again. 1 Samuel 16. We find Saul loved David. David found favor in his sight. But let's see a different explanation of love. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1. It came to pass, right? 1 Samuel 18. It came to pass when he had made an end speaking unto Saul, that the soul, that means the life, or the heart of Jonathan, that's the son of Saul, was knit with the soul of David. Let's read the B part together. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. That is the second commandment, right? Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. He loved him. So a friend is someone that you love. Now the word love there means to prefer. So in friendships, we prefer. What did he do? Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him anymore go to his father's house. Look at verse 3. And Jonathan and David made a covenant, which means an agreement of friendship and association, because he loved him as his own soul. This is repeated. He stripped himself of the robe, verse 4, that was upon him, gave it to David, and his garments, even his sword, and his bow, and his girdle. He stripped himself. That's what he did. He gave honor. So, friends, what do? We honor friends. What do we do to friends, please? We honor friends. We honor friends. He honors him. He said, you will be king after my father. He preferred him. You don't envy friends. No, you don't. You don't compete with friends. No, you prefer friends. Hallelujah. We must know how to handle friendships and properly. Now, the other person might not do the right thing. I remember this story. This is going to be shared because it's been a while now, about 20 years, so I can say it now. And I had this friend where ministers of the gospel, we're still ministers of the gospel together. So he made me know another person who was also a pastor, a known preacher today, and we got to know each other. But something that happened, we had a disagreement, myself and my first friend, don't forget that conversation, the first friend, and we weren't really on speaking terms. So this new friend that I knew through my friend now extend an invitation to me to come and preach in his church. He said, he's led to even ask me to speak. He wants me to come and hold a seminar. And I said, I wouldn't be able to do that. He said, why? Because I was in his house. We sat on the dining table. I said, you know, myself and my friend, through whom I got to know you, we're not on speaking terms. That would be wrong of me. He said, let me suggest someone else who my other friend respects a lot, he will come and speak for you. Let me stay in the background so that I will still honor that friendship. I said, okay. Interestingly, I followed the person I suggested to the meeting. I was supposed to be the speaker, so I followed to show him I didn't have a problem, but just that I wouldn't be using that opportunity. So I went, and I purposely served the man I introduced him, he said, I carried his Bible and stuff like that. So, the protocol team will get to me and say, hey, you, come. If I want time, the craziest one was that they wanted to measure, actually it's Pastor Tokes that I now suggested. They wanted to measure him to get him something, maybe clothes or suits. So they say, hey, you, yeah, it's PA now, come. I don't have a problem with that. Pastor Tokes is worthy enough for me to be his PA, okay? That's not the issue. But I was not his PA that day. So the guy said, take his Bible now. And I go. And I was supposed to be the one. Now what's going on? God is testing my heart. Will I say, me, the original prophet of God. You know, interestingly, I felt uncomfortable. Not because I was carrying the Bible. That means something in your character is being shown to you. So I changed my mood. Ah, after all the sacrifice I did. I was the original preacher now. I wasn't walking like that in the middle, but I was walking in my heart. I was walking around. You know. So it took me months to say, that's pride. You follow what I'm saying here? Because my countenance fell. I was smiling. And inside my heart. So, you watch your countenance. So, a friend is someone you esteem. Alright? You esteem. Now, notice again, we said in the second service, a friend is someone that you defend. We said a friend is someone you cover up. You can never be excited speaking about your friend's weaknesses. Never. 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 What's the excitement over? Noah's children, one of his sons, saw his nakedness. He went ahead and said, hey, did you see how daddy, did you see? You know, he was describing the thing. The other two children, they went with their backs in covered. Peter now says, love covers 4 Peter 4:8, the multitude of sins. Friends cover friends. Did you hear what I'm saying? Did you hear that? Friends cover friends. So, listen here. Friends are those you defend. You defend your friends. See, look at me, church. Friendship is work. Do you hear me? It's work. The moment you are someone's friend, you have become his defender. So you don't just tell the person, it's not, I love you. Dave. The friends who call the name Dave. Watch me. So said. One. Let's see the test. He goes to his father's house. And then Saul, verse 1, 1 Samuel 19, he spake to Jared his son and to all his sons that they should kill David. That they should kill David. Joseph, Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. Amen. You see this? And Jonathan told David, saying, my father seeks to kill you. Protection. Now, therefore, he didn't keep it to his heart and say, hey, Lord, protect your son. Protect your... You are a hypocrite. He said, I pray, take it to yourself unto the morning and abide in secret and hide yourself. Friends protect one another. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field. Whether I will commit my father of thee and what I see, I will tell you. Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father and said, let not the king sin against his servant against David, because he had not sinned against you, because his works have been towards you very good. That's a friend. If you are going to build good relationships, you have to be a friend. A real friend. A real friend. Look at Proverbs. Are you learning something? Proverbs 27. And today we have the social media friendship. Those who are your friends on Facebook, they are not your friends though. Huh? Some people are just your friends on Facebook to monitor you. That's what they are. Some are just there to observe you. Your friends are people that you know. And they know you. Proverbs 27:17. Watch this. Iron sharpened iron. So a man sharpened the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 17:17. That's where I was going actually. Now let's take this together. Proverbs 17:17. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's go. A friend How many times? Or so how many times? So that means as a friend you're on call. 24 hours call. A friend loves at all times. Don't forget, a friend is someone you love, you associate with. Alright? Now look at, it says, a brother is born for what? Adversity. For troubled moments. Proverbs 18, 24. I love this one. A friend, a man that has friends, must show himself friendly. Now, there are translators have different views about this text. Some use it very negatively. That a man that has many friends is in trouble, you know. But I disagree with that. But look at the B part. There is a friend, hallelujah, that sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer. Is that Jonathan? Is that Jonathan? A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 27 verse 9. Because we have different kinds of friends. 27 verse 9. It says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." That a true counsel from a friend. So we have bad friends. We saw that in the first service, second service, where the psalmist, Psalm 41 verse 9, Psalm 55 verse 12, said, "Is the people that were with me that stood against me. The one whom we had together was the one that gave me away." And Jesus quoted that about Judas. So if that can happen to God, it can happen to you. So we have friends who are not real friends. Judas, Ahithophel, and Absalom. We showed you in the second service. Ahithophel and Absalom became friends because they wanted to conspire against David. Just like Herod and Pilate. They were not friends. But upon Jesus, Luke 23, 12, they now teamed up. They became friends because of a common enemy. Don't have such associations. Always ask yourself, why am I rolling with this fellow? Oh, we are fighting somebody. At your workplace, there's one, maybe your line manager, or maybe a director on the board, or maybe someone, maybe an executive director now begins to do something. And then another director is fighting another director. That says, "I want us to be friends." That's useless friendship. Don't be a friend that way. So you'll be helping me get facts, secrets. That's Ahithophel, Absalom relationship. Herod and Pilate. That's not godly. Don't become a friend because you are fighting somebody. Don't join alumni of those that somebody has offended. Alumni of the offended. That's a terrible relationship to have. And I wish I had the time. In the second service also, we looked at this and you must listen to it. And we said that some of us transfer aggression from somewhere else on our present relationships. I read an article for you. And we looked at the example of Joseph. That Joseph never allowed the grievances of the past to affect his relationships. He kept it away. Some of us will use the hurts of yesterday, destroy our marriages, destroy our friendships, business relationships. I'm not going to be anybody's partner in business again. Ah, not my last partner. You know, that the guy just did me one kind. He broke my... Calm down, they are good partners. You know, I was looking at our church song today and I was laughing. "We trust in Jesus and in no one else." But you know what that means in context, right? Well, this morning I said, we said you trust people. And I said, "We trust in Jesus and in no one else." Well, I trust you. Okay. So, you know, you must not allow that to happen. So I said earlier, ensure you heal yourself of those things first. Because you are going to bring upon your friends someone else's wounds. They are good business partners. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I just said? They are good colleagues at work. They are good pastors. Amen? We are good pastors here. Do you believe that? Exactly. They are good church members. There are people, I've been in ministry and I've had people that I pastor. What they did, I'll say, Judas never died. But the truth of the matter is this. I told you in the second service, you see them as raw materials of God working your own heart to you. So you cannot not trust because something has happened. In fact, there are people that God wants you to be with that will first of all break your trust. So like Peter did to Jesus and the 12. Mark was like that to Paul. He came back again. He was useful for ministry. You must know. Don't just know how to build relationships. Know how to repair them too. Is that clear? Know how to remove them when there are cracks. Is that clear? Good. So look at this again. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So Jonathan was like that. He gave himself to David. Don't you think that the father would have told him, Jonathan, better give yourself brain. This boy is going to be king, oh. He's going to be king. Say, ah, it's true. I bought myself brain. Ah, no. He said, it doesn't matter. He will be king after my father. That's what he said. Jonathan said that. You know why? Because he sincerely loved David. You don't compete with those that you love. You don't wish them bad. You don't. So in our relationships, let's build true friendship. And this will help marriages and homes. You are not getting married because you need to use your husband or use your wife for certain leverages. No. No. You want to give. You want to contribute. You see your life as an integral part of the person's life to build him or her to who or what God wants them to be. John 15, 13 to 15, he says, when you are a true friend, you lay down your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People always say, marry your friend. It's true. But I always say the other way around, right? Marry those that you love and love you. Friendship will be discovered in the middle of that. That's where you find friendship. They don't write friend on the badge of anybody. Friendship is discovered in engagements. Regular engagements. And there's no friend that is perfect 100%. Don't ever forget that. Don't become judgmental and destroy relationships. So let's run through a few things. So he said, there's relationships ought to be symbiotic, where we're working together. We're working together. When you are working together in friendships, you are not out looking for faults. No, for faults. A fault finder doesn't build relationships. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12, 9 to 10 and 11. You don't be like that. Don't be a fault finder. Don't be an accuser. Make your home as a woman, as a man, a place of peace where there's confidence. When people have faced all sorts of things in the world, they come home and there's confidence in their hearts. That's how you should build your home. You can't stay in the realm of accusation and build a good relationship. You know, there are things that your friend will do and you will take time to say it. Not because you want to hold it against the person's head. Sometimes you won't even say it anymore. Because, well, you prayed about it. How many of you pray for your friends? It's a rhetorical question. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to ask you specific questions. Alright. You actually pray. I'm not talking about, Father, perfect all that concerns him. That's too black. That's not... I'm saying, you take his name or our name, and say, Lord, thank you for this relationship. And I'm praying that you're strengthened by the power of your spirit. That you infuse in our hearts more your love every day. Do you get it? Maybe you see your friend err. Rather than say, you have done it again, you go and pray. Regularly. If you do that a lot, it means you treasure that relationship. Are you aware that sometimes the people we least pray for our friends, we just assume that We know their solutions. We just assume, oh, if he has Jesus, you know, you get there and start praying for your friend. And just pray. Hallelujah. We complain a lot about people that we don't pray for. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So watch this. So, relationships are symbiotic. Philemon 6. It says, the communication of your faith, that is the word koinonia, to contribute, may become effectual, Paul writes to Philemon, by the acknowledgement, epignosis there, of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. Notice that. He said the way your faith can be effective in relationships, because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Philemon and Onesimus. That the way your relationships can become effectual is by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ. It's not good enough to be telling us, it's all in me, it's all in me, he has given to me all that, all you need for what? For what? It's living in me. It's working in me. Oh, the other of love, eternal life. Working in you to do what? I have stepped into your word. I look into your heart. You gave your very best. To do what? To reach the world. The world that people. He gave you his spirit. So Paul says, the participation of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledgement. That means in your relationships, right? You acknowledge who you are in Christ. I'm a good friend. I don't think I heard you. Glory to God. We are not parasites in Christ. Are we? We are givers in Christ. Glory to God. Is that clear? So what are you doing? You are acknowledging every good thing in you in Christ. Glory to his name. So, which means, in developing healthy relationships, the knowledge of who you are in Christ is of uttermost importance. Like I said last week, recognition. Who am I? Glory to God. You know, after today, I want you to go to your friend, your spouse, your business partners who are Christians, and say, we can make this work. What about that? Come on now. We can make this work. We have all it takes, do we? Come on, Chuck. Do we have all it takes? We have all it takes. We got the Holy Ghost. We can make this work. It will work effectively. It will bless the church, bless the world. Amen? We can make this work. Jonathan loved David with his life. I've got the Holy Ghost in me. I can do that and even more. Hallelujah. We can make this work. If couples can sit down and say, you know, we're born again. E.W. Kenyon said, he said, love has never been to divorce courts. What a powerful book he wrote then. Love has never been to divorce court. He said, except where one of the partners is not walking in love. You know, he beat that record. E.W. Kenyon's wife divorced him. Divorced him. You know, he never shared the story. He never wrote about it. He never preached about it. He never shared it. He never showed it anywhere. Except William Kenyon. Interestingly, yesterday was 74 years that he passed on. A great man. There are few human beings that have influenced me like Kenyon. In my entire life. I read Kenyon's book till I was quoting it. One day I read his book and I was crying like they beat me. So the wife divorced him. He spoke God's word out for years until the wife came back home. He died in her hands or in her house. Loved one. Hallelujah. That is what it means. To acknowledge every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. It's not just for confession. It's for action. That we can make up in relationships. Come on. We can build it again. Why? Because we have every good thing. Come on, are you there? Which is in you in Christ Jesus. He won. Love won. Love wins. Glory to God. Say, love wins. Love wins. Say, love wins. Paul says there are three. Faith, hope, faith, and love. Say, the greatest is love. Love never fails. Say, love never fails. Say, the love of God in me never fails. Don't forget, that love is not selfish, right? It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Amen. Come on. That love believes the best. Let's see it together. First Corinthians 13. So the love of God is not for our songs. What's that song? What is love if it's not in love? Sacrifice for us. Calvary is over it all. So Calvary has done it for you. Have you done it for your friends? What is love if it's not in love? Then when it's time to show that love, watch your head. It's time to now act upon your songs. 1 Corinthians 13. Are you in church? Glory to God. Say, I'm not easily irritable. Alright, look at it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long. It's kind. It envies not. It doesn't vaunt itself up. It's not puffed up. He behaves itself. Sorry, doesn't behave itself unseemly. Doesn't seek our own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity. Rather rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. I saw the word of Reverend Mark Hankins 2 days ago. He said, your countenance must never show circumstances and situations. They must show your expectations. I love that. You know, I kind of told myself that it means that my countenance at home amongst my friends should show what I'm looking forward to. How many of you are looking forward to great things? Let me see your hand. Come on. Love-filled relationships. Blossoming. Walking in God. Let it be how you appear. How you appear. So, the essence of this is to contribute to your relationships. You develop your friendships by the fruit of the Spirit. Not by reading friendship quotes. A friend is the bend on your way to destiny. Don't you know that nonsense? You develop it with the fruit of the Spirit. So the first thing we said in the first second service, genuineness from your heart. Genuine. Your heart is true. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your heart is true. True. Very true. Look at Proverbs 19. Now, I gave you Romans 12. Let's take Romans 12 first. Romans 12. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. That word is hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Let with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Right? Now, look at this. That means when it says, let love be without dissimulation, means let love be sincere. No pretense. So I told you in the earlier services, it's not by writing, by writing public. It's good to do public affirmation. But you see, many people do public affirmation not because they love the person. It's because of the world. And so, they pretend. I've seen people who will celebrate their mother on Facebook and they won't call the person. That's nonsense. And many studies today have found out, let me scare you, but maybe over 90% of those who come publicly to show affection really are having real problems in those relationships. Eventually they go down. Because the truth is, we're in an entertainment frenzy world. You just want to tell people something that they don't deserve to even hear. So it's not about saying it publicly. It's about when you are alone. How do you affirm people in your heart? You know, you can respect your pastor, you can respect your parents when they are there, and when no one is there, you show disdain. It is what you do when they are not there that is the reality. So let love be without pretense. Hallelujah. Are you there? Come on, church, are you there? Proverbs 19. I'm going to read to you verse 4. Wealth makes many friends. Did you see it? But the poor is separated from his neighbor. I told you that story of that guy in my secondary school who I gave pneumonia to last week, right? Wealth makes many friends. Who just become your friend? But there are people that become your friend because you have money. Go and change your car, you will see it. Even some brethren in the churches. I can see a net for the work. Network. We didn't get that. A net for the work. Network. So you have people they like you call friends. That's not genuine friendship. And do not build marriages on that. Money can fly. Oh. Let me repeat it. Write it down. Money can fly. Money can go. Money can go. Proverbs 19 verse 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince. Every man is a friend to him that gives gifts. Can you see it? Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be jealous. We're going to see the other side now. That those, the reason why they are your friends is because you have something you can give them. To build relationships on sincerity. Interestingly, the second thing I want to talk about is to develop friendship, you have to be kind and generous. Can you imagine? So, look at what I'm about to say. You should not become someone's friend because he gives you. But in your friendships, be generous. Be generous. Birthdays, give. Don't write poem. In those days, we'll have to go and buy cards. Now, nobody's even making cards. Did they still make cards? For who? We have e-card. Now we have e-cake. So the truth is, you have to be generous. You have to spend money, materials, in friendship. Thank God for prayer. But friendship also requires generosity. God wants you to be generous. Let me mention this. Hospitality is one of the characters of a believer. You are hospitable. You take care of people. You know, one of the things God repeatedly told Israel, said, you were strangers in Egypt. I brought you. So therefore, treat strangers well. It's an instruction. Hebrews 13 verse 1. Be generous to your friends. Once in a while, send something to their account. And don't be the one that his account is always the one they are sending something to. Aha. So, Hebrews 13 1. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews 13 and verse 2. You see that in Genesis 18. Abraham. Now look at the flip side. Abraham, Genesis 18, he entertained angels. And he quickly cooked for them. And it was after this that Isaac was born. Interestingly, the next chapter, Sodom and Gomorrah. they were hostile to visitors. Hostile. So that in Matthew 10, Jesus gave his disciples instruction. If you get to a place and they don't welcome you, say, let your blessing return to you. Because the angels were there to rescue. They were hostile to them. They could only rescue Lot. So hear what I'm about to say. Listen to what I'm about to say. One of the ways to receive, right, from the grace of God is generosity. I'm not talking about money. Generosity and kindness. Jesus said, any house you enter and they welcome you, he said, your blessing will remain with them. Matthew 10. And they welcome you. He said, remain. And that's the blessing of the gospel. He said, remain with them. Verse 13. From verse 11, sorry, to verse 14. He said, wherever you get to, alright, and as you come in, they don't receive you. He says, let your peace, verse 13, return to you. Now look at 14. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of that judgment. It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, the day of judgment, than for that city. Because Sodom, one of the things they did was hostility. Of course, they had terrible homosexuality, but a core part of what they did was hostility. It said to be worse for them. Now let's see another thing he said. Matthew 10 again. And verse 42. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So we are taught to be hospitable, to be generous, to be kind. To be kind. The reward there is not money. A woman in the Bible, she prepared food for the prophet who brought salvation to her home. Salvation. Because what he brought, what the prophet brought. Now we see the miracles. The miracles were a sign of the salvation. That names today are etched in scripture as those that welcome God's servants. You must learn to be generous to your friends. In developing good relationships, we have to be sincere. We have to be generous, hospitable, and kind. You have to be welcoming. Jesus was welcomed into people's homes. Mary. With that, we now heard about, Martha. We now heard about Mary that sat at his feet. That means the hospitality of Mary, of Martha, alright, helped Mary. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus went and sat in the house of a prostitute. Peter and his mother-in-law. We can go on and on and on. Learn to be hospitable. Learn to be welcoming. With that, you develop healthy relationships. Number one, be sincere. Number two, learn to be hospitable and welcoming. Number three, watch your speech. Watch the things that you say. Speak properly. As a man and woman of God, know that your words can build your friends. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Look at Proverbs 22:11. He that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. With the way you talk. Say, the king shall be his friend. Use your words well. Don't speak words out of anger. Speak properly. Your speech. Don't, because the person is close to you, then say anything that comes to your mind. That's ridiculous and careless. Number four, be available. Be there. Abraham was available for Lot. David for Jonathan. Jonathan for David. In all moments, be available. Put this down quickly. Selfishness is a no, 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 no. It's all about me, what I want, and how I want it. So what do I contribute In my relationships, I contribute the fruit of the Spirit. No, there's the fifth and last one, that the fruit of the Spirit is for your relationships. Galatians chapter 5. So anytime you hear about walking in the Spirit, think about your friend, think about your household, think about your spouse, think about your partners, in business, in your career, your colleagues. Galatians 5. Paul in 13 says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty." Galatians 5:13. Only use not your liberty, for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. What do you do? Serve one another. So love is for service. What did I say? Say it again. Love is for, it's not for boasting. It's not for confession. It's not for singing. It's for serving one another. And so, in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, some scholars have helped us to see that in today's language, because in that language you don't have all those, different grammatical connotations. So you have love, then you have an inverted comma, then you have a semicolon. Then you now have joy. Hallelujah. Do you contribute joy to your friend's life? Do you bring joy? Is your friendship joyful? Joy. Or anytime you show up, you contribute moodiness or moods. It says joy. What else? Peace. Harmony. Glory to God. Long suffering. These are investments in relationships. Gentleness. Goodness, that's kindness there. Faith, that is loyalty. Meekness. Temperance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are effective investments in relationships. Joy. So, don't leave this time. Glory! We've got joy! Joy! There's a mighty flow! Woo! And at the car park, in the car, nobody knows you all came out from the Holy Ghost meeting. So where are you dropping? So I'm going somewhere. I don't have time to do. There's a mighty flow. You know, for people like that, it's just it's believing in the church. Permanently. Do you bring joy? Long suffering. You can hold on for a friend. You don't give it as it comes. As it's coming fresh, you deliver it. Gentleness. You have your emotions under control. He says goodness. Some versions call gentleness self-control. Goodness, you are kind, you are loyal, you are meek. Temperance, okay, that's actually where you have self-control. You contribute that to your relationships. These are effective in relationships. Hallelujah. To your children, to your spouse, to your business partners. Do you light up the countenance of your friend? Said, as iron sharpened iron, does a friend sharpen the countenance of his friend with joy? Hallelujah. Don't build people in Holy Ghost meetings and go and destroy them at home. The building continues. Is that clear? Is that clear, church? Don't contribute the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Fornication, idolatry, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. These are relationship breakers, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Paul says, what is going to happen? Galatians 5. He says, we will devour, verse 15, one another. We'll be consumed one of another. So you watch out for that. Walk. Now let me put this as a close. Walk on all your relationships. Do you hear me? Walk on them. Family. Amen. Friends. Ministry. Walk on all relationships. Spousal relationships. Things you mustn't put in your relationship. This is just, by the way, just add this just for your notes. Fear. Fear. Don't bring fear. Maybe your husband, your wife, your friend, your sibling, God adopts you, but don't say, ha! Yeah. You say, we believe God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, we believe God. You have a contract, the contract goes by. Don't say, this is the third time this year. I don't understand what's going on, no. Have you checked all the people you are working with? Just say, relax. God supplies all our needs. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't put anxiety, anger, lies, selfishness. They will all destroy relationships. So we know how to build relationships. Amen. Is that clear? As you hear God's word, close here, and you walk in the Spirit, you build healthy, strong, effective relationships. Let me say something. You know, someone said this, and I believe it. He said, sometimes, and I know this because it's what I do for a living. Sometimes you see some materials, because I do a lot of mining in my career, so that's an area of my interest. When you see the raw materials or some of those things that people eventually use, and what it takes to put it into what people now admire, I say, the work that goes on. Sometimes we even find the resource. I mean, the raw material takes months, sometimes years. When you now find it rusted, you now begin to go down and down and down. Sometimes almost about to give up. There was one of our sites that we bought. The people mined to a point, they gave up because they felt there was nothing there. We now started from where they stopped, and all their labors of many years took us just 2 weeks. That takes a long time to get the raw material. Then the material comes out. They begin to process it. Process it. Then it comes out. And then you see that finished product and say, I wish my husband was like this. I wish my wife was like this. I wish my pastor was like this. I wish my disciple was like this. I wish Nigeria was like this. Amen. Thank you very much for that part. I tell people sometimes about Nigeria, and I love Nigeria a lot. I love Nigeria passionately than any other country in the world. And I have no apologies for that. But sometimes you see Nigerians. I was on a flight one day. We were passing through Europe. And in that nation, they said, let us queue up. And we all obeyed the queue. In fact, one day like that, I've forgotten, there was that, the first time I went to Southern Africa. So I was going to take a taxi. You know me, I'm a Lagos boy. So as the taxi came up, I just entered. The guy said, one person, please. And I looked at the queue. And I walked away. You know, and I've seen that a lot. You know, and I see countries that I go to sometimes, and you see them in a queue, and nobody's hustling. There was one time like that, I wanted to get food, I was very hungry. So I didn't know there was a queue. I just thought the place was free. I just went there. Yeah. So I said, excuse me, there's a queue. I said, where? They were just sitting there, they were looking at me like, So I just walked away. You know, the shame on my face didn't allow me to buy the food there. I went somewhere else. You know, we were coming from a European country and everybody behaved themselves. We all behaved properly. I don't know whether it's the atmosphere. I think as soon as the plane was already coming through, I already misbehaved. As we landed, and myself and my boss then, we came into the country and, you know, we're trying to keep, one guy just jumped in front on the immigration side. And I said, oh boy, wait now. Then my boss said, please, can we just maintain, and they said, whoa, someone said, we are tired. And this particular guy did not even listen. My boss went to him and said, sir, this was 2019. I think it was 6 or 7 or 5. He said, please, can you, guy said, whoa, do you know what my father has done to this guy? I cannot kill you. And he raised his voice. And my boss had to ask him, who is your father? Because his father was the first prime minister of Nigeria. He said, my own father, I'm sure his face is in your pocket.
Say, I'm here. Having a king. The guy was so dismissed. So sometimes we look at other nations. What are we contributing? The way we break laws. Say, hey, it's the government. It's not the government that bypassed the traffic light. It's not the government that took one way. It's you. You go to offices. Do something simple. They say, what's in it for us? So that today if you write a proposal of business, they'll say, where is the PR part? It's not good. Things will turn out the way you have made it. Sometimes when you travel to Nigeria and you miss Nigeria, there's something you are missing. You are missing disorder. You say, I'm missing Nigeria. What's all this? Tell me, am I right? I'm correct, right? You're missing this thing that they say it's Tuesday, which Tuesday? Remember one time I was going somewhere, the guy said, come back on Wednesday. I said, why now? I just felt like saying, can't I get it today? The guy looked at me like I farted. He said, I didn't understand. I said, today now. Well, is it not a sign? He said, like I said earlier, next week. You know, we see beautiful nations. We want to be like they are. But we're not ready to pay the price. You see a good couple, a good church, a good ministry, a good business partnership. Are you ready to pay the price? You see the finished product. Then you start to compare your spouse with someone that you desire to have. But you are not desiring to walk through the process. If you want good friendships, you invest. Good relationships, invest. And it's going to be a long journey. It's not a walk in the park. It's not just open and say, miracle. I told you last week, it's not a miracle. It's something you have to walk through. Nations are built not with miracles. Nations are built patiently with values, character, and culture. Same thing with any worthy monument in this life. And I trust God that our families have been built. Our relationships have been built. Our partnerships and friendships. Amen. You learn something? Stand to your feet. I want us to pray.